I hope you guys have brought your Bibles today, because this is literally going to be an old-fashioned Bible study. What does it mean, go wash in the river? Anybody know what person we're going to talk about? Naaman, you're right. This story is the story of the plan of salvation. And couldn't it be a better story? Does anybody know where the story of Naaman is found? I'm going to trick you today. I want you to open your Bible to Luke 4, verse 24, and I'll read that. Assuredly, I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. And go on down to verse 27. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Did Jesus read his Bible? Did he know what the scriptures said? Jesus is saying, not only does God work with and speak through his people, but he works and speaks through others. Do you know how Jesus stood up to Satan's temptations after he fasted for 40 days? It is written. Amen. Do you want to be able to stand up to Satan's temptations? You have to know what the scriptures say. Amen. Yes, you guys are right. The story of Naaman is found in 2 Kings chapter 5. So let's all turn to 2 Kings chapter 5, and that will be where we will take the rest of our text. In fact, when I'm reading from the Bible, I will say which verse I'm reading. The story of Naaman is the entire chapter. Verse 1. Now Naaman was captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. We find out that he was a man that was great, meaning that he was well known, famous. He was a man of honor, respected. He did what was right. He was well respected. Verse 1 continued. He was honorable and great because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was a mighty man of valor. Jesus, the Jews thought that God only worked with them and for them. Here we see God was working with the Syrians. Why? The Israelites were not doing what God told them to do. They were being unfaithful. This is a lesson for us today. Naaman was strong, brave, mighty, and was given success by the Lord. Wouldn't you like to be a man like this? Famous, courageous, well-liked, honorable, faithful, strong, and mighty. Sounds pretty good until we get to the last five words. Last five words of verse 1. But he was a leper. That kind of changed everything, didn't it? You all of a sudden decided you didn't want to be like Naaman. He had all these great things about him, and the Lord was even using him, but he was terminal. Kind of takes the fun out of all the other parts of his life. What profits a man if he gains the whole world? Like the man who fills his barns and builds bigger barns, and God said, your life is required. What good is it? Naaman had everything going for him, but he was dying. Could he enjoy any of these things? Leprosy was a terminal disease. It was a certain stigma with it. It was thought to be the curse of God. Do you know why? It separated man from his fellow man. Leprosy is the type of sin in the Bible, and sin separates. One of the kings of Israel, King Uzza, came down with leprosy, and here he is a ruler of the people, and he's got to live sequestered in this isolated house by himself, quarantined from all the people. Remember, leprosy is the type of sin, and what does sin do? It separates. We are separated from God by our sin. Sin will keep you out of heaven. Verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. The Syrians would cross the Jordan River and go on raids and steal the Israelites' goods. They attacked them, particularly at the time of harvest, and they took their foods and valuables. One of the other valuables they took was people. They would take them and sell them as slaves. This is Bible time slave traders. Kind of makes you sick. When I first heard this story, I felt sorry for this little girl. So far from home, being sold as a slave, this girl was purchased by the wife of Naaman to work in her house after she was snatched up by some ugly soldier on one of these raids. God is interesting in these providences and how he arranges these things. That little girl must have thought her life was over, being taken to a strange land where they serve strange gods. But God worked things for good. Joseph, same thing happened to him, but he was bought by the general of Egypt. And now that little girl was bought by the Syrian general. By the way, this little girl knew the story of Joseph, and I am sure she said to herself, maybe God has a use for me like he did with Joseph. Amen. She became aware that Naaman had leprosy, because in verse 3, and she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were that the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. That prophet was Elisha. Did she have any doubts about her God, what her God could do through prophet Elisha? No. She believed it. Do you know why? Because Elisha had a reputation that anyone who came to him with a problem, he would help them. Up to this point, Elisha or any other prophets had never healed anyone from leprosy. Only one person had previously been healed of leprosy, and you know who that was? Miriam's, the sister of Moses. It was Moses' sister Miriam. She was struck with leprosy, and God took it away in 7 days. This was real faith this little girl had. God wants us to have a more childlike faith. What does the woman represent in prophetic symbols? Yes, here you have a little girl who was planted in a Gentile family, and she was letting her light shine. What God did through this little girl is what he wanted to do through the entire nation of Israel, and he would do this several times. But often, the people of God, their witness was the strongest during time of captivity. They did better under the trials and persecution they did when they were free. When was it that the king of Babylon made a proclamation about the God of Israel? It was when they were captives in Babylon. And when did the king of Persia make a proclamation about the God of Israel? It was when the Israelites were captive in Medo-Persia. And here they are learning about the God of Israel while this little girl is captive in Syria. Don't you think that God puts you around the pagans so that you can be a witness to them? Amen. This little girl was letting her light shine in the darkness. Doesn't this say something about her Christian education she had at home? Amen. You might think that Naaman would say, "This is just a little girl or a child." She, it's hard to believe, but when you're dying, it is easier to believe. I have patients that are dying, believe, and they try almost anything. Some go all around the world. The Syrians and the Israelites had been at war with each other for years. They were enemies. You know how hard it would be for Naaman to go to his enemy for a cure? He had to really humble himself to do this. Verse 4, And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go to," this is verse 5, go and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. Would you have liked to have seen that letter from the king? I mean, here is the king of their enemy, wanting the Israelite king to cure the general that has been plummeting and raiding the Israelites and stealing their people for slaves. That's ridiculous. We would say, look at all he's done to us. He deserves the leprosy. Did the little girl say for him to go see the king of Israel? No. The king, the general, and the king of Syria did not follow what she said to do. She said to go see the prophet of God. The king of Syria was the son of Ahab, and for sure he did not worship the true God. You have to read in there, and it tells about how the king of Syria was set up by Jezebel. Verse 6, and he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." Do you think the king of Israel knew who Naaman was? You bet. He had been killing them in battles. He had left out the part about Elisha. That would be like going to the President of the United States to be cured and not to the hospital or the doctor. Here, instead of going to God or God's servant, he goes to the government. Where are we supposed to go for our salvation? To Jesus. We are supposed to go to God, not the government. He is going to the government for his healing. He is not doing what the little girl said. He got the money to pay for it. We don't achieve cleansing from leprosy with documents and money. You cannot get cleansing from sin with gold, silver, and document. You cannot pay for it. He went to the wrong place, the right country, but the wrong place. The little girl had more sense than Naaman did, and she didn't say to go to the king. The king was apostate. She said, go to see the prophet. She knew that God was with Elisha, not the king. Do you know how much money Naaman brought? He brought $3,480,000 to pay for it. That's at $32 an ounce. How much is gold worth now? $1,000. So you do the math. He brought a lot of money. Verse 7, when it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." What an insult. The king of Syria is trying to cause a war with me if I cannot cure him. He is looking for an excuse or a cause to launch a war against the king of Israel. Verse 8, And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Amen. The prophet Elisha must not have lived very far from the king's palace. Did Elisha know what was going on behind the scenes? Did Elisha know the king did not follow God? Yes, he did. He knew the king did not have the relationship with God to do this task or miracle. He said to the king, "Why did you tear your clothes? Why are you so upset? Obviously, you don't have faith in God." What, was Jesus the prophet? Yes, he was. Is there a still prophet in our times? Yes, because Jesus is still in our midst. Amen. Verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. Do you know how much he was carrying with him? I think we just mentioned that. There were semi-trucks, loads of money following him to Elisha's house. Finally, he gets to the right place. He arrives in the medical center to see the doctor, not the government politicians. He expected the prophet to come out. You would expect to go to see the doctor in the hospital, wouldn't you? He wanted the prophet to do his magic. He kind of didn't really understand what the prophet was going to do. He thought they would jump up and down and stuff like the prophets of Baal. And so he didn't really understand that. Naaman was expecting a show, like the magicians, the witch doctors. Elisha does not come out to see him, but he sends his servant with a very simple, humbling message. Verse 10, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean." Now this really bugged Naaman. First of all, he goes to see the king, and the king didn't receive him. Now he comes to the prophet, and the prophet didn't see him. Would you expect to see the secretary when you went to see the doctor? Why did Elisha not go out to see him? Who does Elisha represent? He represented Jesus. Why can't we see Jesus face to face in his glory right now? Because we got leprosy. We are separated from him by our sins. So Elisha speaks to Naaman through his servant. How does Jesus speak to us now? Through his servants. In this story, you will see that God saves Naaman from his leprosy through different servants. And the message to Naaman is what? Go wash in the Jordan. Have you ever seen the Jordan River? The Jordan River is very dirty, small, algae-like stream. It can be a series of stagnant pools in the summer. When someone tells you to take a bath, what do they imply by that? You're dirty. When someone tells you to take 7 baths, what do they imply? You're really dirty. How would you like to be told to take 7 baths in dirty water? The rivers in Damascus were so much cleaner because they came down from the mountains. Would you like to take a bath in the Umpqua River or the muddy Mississippi? This is how Naaman responded to all this. Verse 11. But Naaman was wroth. What does it mean to be wroth? He was enraged. He blew a fuse. He had a fit. Verse 11 continued. And he went away and said, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. He wanted him to say abracadabra or something. He begins to argue. Verse 12. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. He said, "I've had enough. I don't need this kind of humiliation. I would rather go home and die with some dignity. I'd rather die of leprosy than do something like that." So he spins his chariot around in a cookie, peels his tires out, shows them he's really mad, and he takes off for home. When you're really mad and angry, there's no place like the surroundings of home. Why did Elisha tell Naaman to go wash in the River Jordan? What does the river word Jordan mean? Declining. The Jordan is a symbol of death. You can read that in the Bible many times. The Jordan is a symbol of baptism. Baptism is a symbol of death, burial, and resurrection. He is saying, if you want to be clean, you got to wash in the Jordan 7 times. If you would like to have new life, if you want to be born again, you must die first. You got to go to the Jordan. In order for Naaman to get back to Syria, guess what river he had to cross? The Jordan. It is hard to stay enraged long. It takes much energy. How do you cool off sometimes? You go for a drive. That's exactly what Naaman did. On the way home, he was getting close to the Jordan River. So verse 13. And his servants came near to him and spake unto him. That implied that because of his leprosy, they were keeping their distance. Now they are going to take a risk for Naaman's sake. They expose themselves and draw near to their master. Verse 13. They said, "My master, if the prophet did bid thee to do something great, some great thing, wouldn't thou have done it? How much rather than when he said to thee, 'Wash and be clean.'" They are trying to give him counsel, psychotherapy. King Saul said to David, "If you want to marry my daughter, you bring me the foreskin of 100 Philistines." So he went out and brought him 200. If he said, "Climb the mountain," Naaman would have done that. He said, "I'm a soldier. I'm a man. Give me something like that." You know, Peter could pull out a sword and lay his life down for Jesus, but he couldn't stand up to ridicule. They said, if he would ask of you, if he asked you to try to do something hard, you would have tried it. If you would have looked like you could do it yourself, you would have done it. If you could have worked your way, then you would do it. Is that not the popular worldly way? But if it's just a gift, go wash. The way men are wired, they want to do it themselves. That is why men don't ask for directions. We will drive around in circles for hours rather than stop and ask directions, because that means men need help and they don't want it. I can testify that myself, and Barb too. "I can do it myself," Naaman said. "The idea that you would have to say it is a gift is difficult." Notice, first the message of salvation comes to Naaman through a little girl, humble instruments. Then the message comes through the servant of Elisha, poor servant of a poor prophet. Then through his own servants. God is speaking to Naaman, but he doesn't speak personally. How does God speak to the Gentiles? Through his servants. How does God speak to us? Through his messengers. Later we learn that Gehazi's heart was not right. God can speak through flawed instruments, can he? God can speak through a donkey even. Naaman thought his problem was leprosy. What was his problem? He has pride. He has the same sin that dropped the devil, and we all wrestle with it, and that is pride. He has to humble himself. They said, if he asks you to do something hard, how much easier, just wash and be clean. This is what the Lord is saying to you and me. Come, wash, and be clean. But you must humble yourself and be willing to be crucified with Christ. Verse 14. Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. He got to the banks of the river and looked at the muddy water. He says, what have I got to lose? I could go home with pride and my leprosy and still be separated from everyone I loved. Can't hug his wife, can't hug his children. He goes down the street and everyone respects him, but they flee because he's contagious. He thinks, I don't want to go on like this anymore. I want to be clean. This is the appeal that Jesus makes to everyone. Would you like to be clean? Or do you want to be prideful and stubborn and think you can do it yourself? He had to take off all his armor and his uniform and strip down. You know, when you come to Jesus, you come naked. You lay aside your filthy rags. What does a leper take off when he takes a bath? Filthy rags. And we lay aside our unrighteousness, our self-righteousness is like filthy rags. And we have to get into the Jordan, the symbol of baptism, of cleansing. And when he got to the river, to the water, he had to sweep away the scum, the green algae, and it must have been humiliating. God probably directed him to the dirtiest part of the Jordan to test him. He gets into the water and says, oh, I really don't want to do this. And the servants say, go ahead. What do you have to lose? So he dunks himself and comes up, still has his leprosy, probably stinging from all the putrefied water because he had open sores. He is missing some of his digits, which I'll prove in a minute. He is in the later stages of leprosy. He thinks, this is foolish. Why am I doing this? I'm getting out of here. And his servants say, no, you have to do this. Why not go all the way? What do you have to lose? So he dips himself again, and he comes up, and his leprosy still is on him. And he dips himself again 3 times, 4 times, 5 times. Was it the number of times? Was it the scrubbing away the leprosy that was washing his sin? No, it was the surrender to do what he was told to do. Do you think God can work miracles in your life when you obey him explicitly? Does God mean what he says? Is God particular? When he says, when he came up the fifth time, was he any physically cleaner than he was the fourth time? When he came up the sixth time, did he have any less leprosy? But after he went down the 7th time and came up, what happened? He was cleansed. He was healed. You know, God said, you know, the Bible says his flesh came again. What does this mean? It means that he had lost something that he restored, that was restored. That means he was missing fingers and toes. Do you think he felt something? Yeah, his fingers were popping back on. He could see better because leprosy caused blindness. He noticed a big difference. Not only did his flesh come back to him, but what did his flesh come back like? That of a child. This is a symbol of being born again. This is a symbol of the new birth. You come, you are cleansed, you accept Jesus, and you humble yourself, you submit yourself, and you obey. Not only can he not only he can cleanse you, not only give you back your flesh, you come out of the water like the skin of a baby. This is really what a Christian is. A Christian is a soldier with baby skin, a born-again soldier. What is the significance of seven? Does that mean anything to God? When the Lord told Joshua to march around Jericho seven times, and if he wanted the victory, after six times, were the walls as strong as the previous times? The walls did not fall until he did it the way God said. He blew the trumpets and the walls fell. When Naaman washed himself the first time, no blessing. The blessing would not come until he did it the way and the number that God prescribed. God is particular. Sometimes we are criticized because we believe in keeping the seventh-day Sabbath. God said, I bless the seventh day. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. Does he mean what he says? Does it matter what day or how many days? Yes, it does. If you disagree with me, don't take it up with me. Take it up with the Lord. Because it is his command and we are doing what he said. And if you can show me a command where he says he blesses another day or tells us to remember a different day, then I want that blessing, don't you? So he said, I bless the seventh day Sabbath and I want you to do what he says. Naaman comes up out of the water, runs home, and has a parade up and down the streets of Damascus. Is that what happens? No. What is the first response he has when he is cleansed? It says he returned to the man of God and all his aides and came and stood before him. He could have went back to Damascus, but he returned to pay his medical bill. Kind of hypocritical. He wants to go and give thanks and return something to Elisha. Verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, and he and all his company, and came and stood before him. Now Elisha comes out to see him face to face. Why? Because he's been cleansed. Because he obeyed. Verse 15. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Can you say, I know in whom I believe? Do you know the Lord? Naaman just banished all the other gods that he had grown up with. Why? Because they were powerless. The God who could really heal was the God of Israel. He said, Now I know. I have experienced it. Do you know? Do you think you could come up to Naaman the rest of his life and tell him the God of Israel isn't real? Unless we have an experience in God's cleansing, we're not going to even know him. We need to experience Jesus' cleansing. Verse 15. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing, a gift of thy servant. Why does a Christian give? Because we are obligated to give to the church or God? No, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Why are we giving? Because I was lost and now I'm found. Because I was dead and now I'm alive. I am so thankful, grateful. I love God. I want to do something to give him my love. Love gives. God so loved the world, he gave. So the natural response of Naaman is to give. He wants to give in return to Elisha. Do you want the 6 talents of gold or the 10 talents of silver or the 10 changes of clothing? Maybe there are only 9 changes of clothing. I thought of this myself because he probably put on one of the changes of clothing when he came up and lost all his filthy rags. Anyway, What does Elisha say? Verse 16. But he said, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Was he refusing the money because it was pagan money? No. They often took money from the pagans. The reason he refused the money is because God wants us to know that you cannot pay for salvation. Amen. This is the story illustrating salvation from leprosy, from sin. You cannot pay for it because God told him this is a symbol of salvation. He did not want him to think you could pay for it. He wanted Naaman to go home to his country and understand something about the grace of God, that it was a gift. Verse 17, and Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 meals burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth after neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. Do you know what he was saying? I am now going back to a pagan land and not offer a sacrifice or worship false gods anymore. I am going to bring some of the earth of Israel back because when I want to offer on the dirt of the real God. Was he converted at this point? Yes. Wasn't converted before. And he starts on his way home. He was very happy. And Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the apprentice of Elisha, he has seen so many miracles, but evidently his heart is not right. He is greedy. Like Judas, who saw Jesus perform so many miracles, how could he betray Christ for earthly gain? This still happens today. Verse 20, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master hath spared Naaman the servant, the Syrian. He was already lying. God had spared Naaman. Behold, my master hath spared this Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he had brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. Now, what is really sad about this story is that the Gentile, the non-church member, is bringing his gifts freely. The church member is coveting and being dishonest and disobedient. Verse 21, so Gehazi followed after Naaman, and Naaman saw him running after him. He lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? Verse 22. And he said, all is well, my master. My master has sent me. He lied again. There are people nowadays that are doing the same thing too. They are taking money falsely. They are trying to extract money from people in the name of the God, but it's really going to themselves. Verse 22 continued. Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garment. You cannot make merchandise of the gospel. You remember what Peter and John said? Silver and gold have I none, but what we do have is free. It's the gospel. This, even 1 talent, which he asked for and 2 changes of garment, was $384,000. It's a lot. Verse 23, and Naaman said, be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him, and he bound 2 talents of silver into 2 bags. Was God going to bless the gift of Naaman? Yes. Even though the one he gave it to was corrupt, God blessed Naaman. Some people give to the wrong ministry, but God blesses them based on their giving. Verse 23 continued. He gave him two bags of silver with two changes of garments and laid them on two of his servants, and they bare them before him. Verse 24. And he said, and when he came to the tower, he took them from their hands and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. Verse 23:5. When he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said to him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. He was not only greedy, he was a liar. One sin leads to another. You find that out? Verse 26, and he said unto him, went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and manservants and maidservants? He said, God showed me what you did in a vision. Don't mess with me. God shows me everything you do. Who does Elisha represent? Jesus sees everything we do. We cannot fool him. This Gehazi could have been the next prophet of Israel. He could have been for Israel what Elisha and Elijah had been. He was trained to be the next prophet, just as Judas was being trained to be an apostle, but he sold out for the love of money. Now Elisha is looking into his heart, and he sees what he was going to do with the money. He mentions all the stuff that Gehazi wanted to buy. These are frightening words, verse 27, the last verse. The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence, a leper as white as snow. The leprosy immediately covered his body. Why did they mention his descendants? Because there's the seed of Gehazi out there too. Judas was the seed of Gehazi. Those that are coveting earthly treasure, they got the leprosy. The love of money is the root of all evil. The whole story of the gospel is here. The Gentile comes to Elisha with his leprosy, washed away, and the servant of Elisha, because of his attitude and his faith in God, was wrong. He stops becoming a servant and becomes a leper. One leaves a servant of God, and one servant leaves a leper. The outsider starts worshiping the true God, and the church member leaves a leper. Did that happen to Israel during the time of Christ? A lot of people didn't accept Jesus, and the gospel was taken from them and given to the Gentiles. The whole story of Naaman was an echo of what was going to happen to Israel later. It is a story of how we can be cleansed if we are willing to wash in the Jordan. The Lord says, wash and be clean. You come to Jesus just as you are. You don't go to the government. He said, wash and be clean. Jesus' blood provides the foundation of the fountain of blessing. There's one part I thought would be interesting. I would like to think Naaman went back to see this little girl, give her a hug, and thank her for what he did, pointing her to the true God. Take her personally to her family and tell them the whole story and ask their forgiveness. I mean, he had plenty of money. He could have did that. We don't know what the rest of the story is. Won't it be so fun to be in heaven, to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear the rest of the story? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for the story of Naaman, for the plan of salvation that when we were separated from you, you provided a way back to you. Help us to put this story in our heart that we can not only keep it to ourselves, but we can share it with others and have others point to you as our personal Savior. In thy holy name, amen.